Hello, and thanks for tuning in to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. Today's message is presented by Ken Holsberry, the preaching minister at the 10th and Broad Church. Let's tune in now for Ken's message.
Well, one of the things that motivates me, has always motivated me, is I have always wanted to do something great for God. I want to do something that is important for God. I want to do something that impacts people around me. I want to do something that makes my life count for something. I want to help people. I want to give hope to people. And that's a huge motivation for me. And I think that probably I am not alone in that, that you in your ways and in your life have a desire to do something for God, to be an impact to your family, to be an impact in your church, to be an impact in your community, among your friends. But God has really been teaching me some things over the last year. And even more specifically, He has really been teaching me some things over the last 6 weeks. And He has been teaching me and reminding me that my relationship with Him is of far greater importance than what I do or what I accomplish for Him. Amen. And we're going to see that idea play out today as we look in Luke chapter 10. Because a phrase I'm going to use quite often this morning is that intimacy comes before impact. I just want you to say that with me, if you will. Intimacy comes before impact. This comes before that. So in Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After this. Okay, I want you to really pay attention to those two words. There are no throwaway words in the Word of God. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others, and He sent them two by two ahead of Him to every town and place where He was about to go. And He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." And as you read through there, Jesus is going to give them instructions, and then He sent them out. And we're going to find out at the end, they had a huge impact because they went out ahead of Jesus. And I love that thought because that's what we're called to do, folks. We're just going to go ahead of Jesus. Jesus is coming. He's doing His work. He's at work in people's lives. He has never not been at work. We get to go out ahead of Him and make a way for Him. And so these 72 went out into the places that Jesus was about to go, and He gave them some things to do, and He told them that I want you to go out there, and I want you to help people. I want you to heal people. I want you to cast out demons. I want you to prepare the way for Me. And their impact was huge. I mean, they came back, if you can say this, I think I can see it in Scripture, they came back giddy. They were just so excited about what they had experienced when they had been out among people for Jesus. And they were just giddy with excitement. They were thrilled with everything that had happened. They were so excited, filled with joy. And Jesus saw the impact that they had. He even said to them, "You know what? While you were out there, I saw Satan fall like lightning from the sky." That's a pretty big impact when the Lord says something like that. But before that, this. Before that happened, this happened. And it's in those two words, after this. Because if we read before this, and we look at these 72, although they're not identified until this moment, we know because they are identified at this moment, they have been with Jesus. They have been, we usually read about the disciples and we think of the 12, but there are great crowds around Jesus. And among those great crowds are groups of people who are closer to Him and who are more committed to Him and who are dedicating their lives to Him and who are following Him. And inside that is even the 12, and inside that is even the 3. But these 72 were in that group. So as we read through the first nine chapters of Luke, there have been among those who have been following Jesus, and they have been spending time with Jesus. They have been listening to every word that Jesus said. They have been asking questions about it and having discussions about it. They have been watching everything that Jesus did. They watched how he prayed. They watched how he related to people. They watched how he helped people and interacted with people. They have been with Jesus. And I love that idea that shows up in Acts chapter 4. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. Folks, there is something significant about being with Jesus. Amen? Something happens to us when we are with Jesus, and other people will notice it. What Peter and John were able to do had nothing to do with their ability. It had nothing to do with their intellect. It had nothing to do with their schooling. It had nothing to do with any of that. All it had to do with was the fact that they had been with Jesus. And so this comes before that. Intimacy comes before impact. Before you can have an impact in your family, with your husband or your wife, before you can have an impact with your kids, before you can have an impact on your grandkids and on generations to come, before you can have an impact on anyone at work or anyone in your neighborhood, before you can have an impact, before that comes this, and it's an intimacy, a relationship with Jesus. And very often we get ahead of ourselves, and I was getting ahead of myself. I think that's why the Lord has been teaching me this so strongly. We want to do things for God, and we want God to do things through us, but before the impact comes the intimacy. And when I say intimacy, I hope that you think of a family. That's what I'm thinking of when I talk about that, because there is an intimacy within a family that you don't experience with anyone else. There's an intimacy of living together and eating together and being sick together and getting mad at each other and everything that comes with those relationships. It develops an intimacy. You know those people. And they know you. I think, I've said this before, but I think that it was one of the reasons that God gave us those two key relationships in our life. The relationship we have with a husband or wife, and the relationship we have between parents and children. I think God gave us those relationships, not just to be a blessing to us. He gave us those relationships because they, in very significant and special ways, communicate to us, identify for us what kind of relationship God wants to have with us. And God even uses those in Scripture. He uses those analogies and those illustrations to say, I'm like a father to you, and you're like my children. He talked about Israel and the church in terms of a husband and wife relationship. And so through those, we understand the kind of intimacy that God wants to have with us, that Jesus wants to have with us, where we experience his love, where we just walk daily with him, where we depend on him and trust him, where we see him and his presence in our life, where we see his work in our life, where we see him answer a prayer, or we see him open a door. Or it's that intimacy, that living life on a day-to-day basis that we can have with Jesus. If that one doesn't connect with you, though, I want to give you another one. And it's the idea of friendship. Jesus, in John chapter 15, said to the disciples, "You're my friends." Jesus wants to have a friendship relationship with us. We can call him friend. But friendship becomes comes before fruit. Before we have the fruit in our life that we want to have, we have to have a friendship with Jesus. And we're going to talk in a little bit that that fruit just comes right out of that friendship. So, we must have that with Jesus before we can do anything with Jesus. We must have the intimacy before the impact. We must have the friendship before the fruit. And really, when it comes to the people around us, that makes a lot of sense. Because Jesus did not call us to be salespeople. And aren't you glad? He didn't call us to be salespeople. He didn't call us to work up a sales pitch and go out there and work that sales pitch on folks all around us. That's not the image. That's not the illustration that Jesus called us to. We don't have to memorize that sales pitch and overwhelm people with it. Jesus wants us, out of our intimate relationship with Him, out of our friendship with Him, to share our lives with other people. That's what we learned about last week. That's what Jesus wants from us. To share with other people the experiences that we have with Jesus. I loved what was shared on the video a little earlier, that when we talk about love, we have some experiences with Jesus to share when it comes to love. We can share with people how He has changed our life. We need to share with people how He has changed our life. We can share with people how He teaches us things. How He helps us understand things. We can share with people how He is kind to us. How He provides for us and helps us. We can share with people how He answers our prayers. How He shapes us. How He is moving in our life. And folks, those kinds of sharings, those are not sales pitches. Those are not things you have to memorize. Those are not things you have to work on people with. Those are just things that are natural in your life that Jesus is doing that you get to share with people. Because Jesus didn't call us to be a salesperson. He called us to be a witness. And all a witness does is share in your own words what you saw or experienced. And so as witnesses, we share what we have experienced in this friendship with Jesus, in this intimacy with Jesus. So in our 30 days of fasting and prayer, what we are doing in that 30 days of fasting and prayer is not about the impact. It's about the intimacy. It's about spending time with Jesus every day. It's about counting the cost and being willing to give something up so that we can focus our attention even more on Him. It's about growing in our relationship with Jesus, dedicating time every day to spend with Jesus, to have intimacy and friendship with Him. That is our focus over these 30 days. Out of that intimacy comes impact. Out of that friendship comes fruit. This comes before that. James chapter 4, verse 8 says this. It says, "Come near to God, and He will come near to you." That's a promise. Come near to God, and God will come near to you. That is intimacy. That is friendship. And that when you come to God and when He comes to you, that's where the impact and the fruit begin to happen. And so over these 30 days, I just want to encourage you to keep this in your mind that you are coming near to God. You're seeking Him. You're spending time with Him. You're working on that relationship. You're putting yourself in a place to experience Him. And that as He then comes near to you, we're asking God to produce fruit in our life and to let us be graceful enough to let us have some impact on people around us. And so as you pray for our city this month, as you pray for even more specifically a group of eight or so people, as you make petition for them every day before God, trust God to be at work in their life. And then you look for the opportunities and be courageous enough and obedient enough to step into those opportunities when God opens them up. If you see an opportunity, act on it. Serve that person. Share something with those people. And over these next 30 days, let's go back some to our 40 days of prayer. Remember some of the things that we learned during that 40 days of prayer. And go back over and review your workbook. Maybe pick up some of those rhythms that you have dropped since then. And really press into this season of prayer. Maybe even pick up praying 7 times a day again through the Lord's Prayer. As you fast from something over these 30 days, as you give something up for God, whatever that is, don't focus on what you're giving up, but focus on what you're opening yourself up to. Don't focus on what you're saying no to, but focus on what you're being able to say yes to. And I want to encourage you to take advantage of our prayer room, just as a space where you can come, spend some time in prayer. As you do, leave a note in the journal or paste something up on the board so that the next people who come in could join you in what you have been praying about. Watch our brothers and our sisters on social media this month as every day at noon we post scripture and a prayer as we pray for our city. Keep up in your Jesus Next Door daily prayers and thoughts so that we're all sharing those prayers in common. Over these next 30 days, pursue this intimacy with Jesus. And out of that intimacy, we are confident that He will make an impact, just like He did with those 72. That out of that friendship, He will produce fruit. That's what He said in John chapter 15. In fact, He said it several places in John. But He said that He is the vine and we are the branches. He is the source of life. The source of strength. The source of the Spirit. We're the branches and we only have life when we're connected to Him. We only produce fruit when we are connected to Him, when we abide in Him, when we remain in Him. And see, it's so easy for me to get focused out here on the end of the branch and I want this fruit and I work really hard for this fruit and I can't figure out why this fruit isn't coming. And what Jesus says is, you know what? Just remain in me. You stay connected to me. You abide in me. It's all about our relationship with Him. And then the plant grows naturally, abundantly, because He is the source. Boy, if it depended on me, it'd be a dead plant, but He is the source of life. And so that impact comes from intimacy. That fruit comes from friendship. This comes before that. It's true all through the Bible, but one of the places that I see it illustrated so beautifully is in the life of Moses. Moses was a great man of God. If there is any human being who ever had impact in the world, it is Moses. Led people out of Egypt, gave them the law, led them through the wilderness. Moses had a huge impact for God. But as much as Moses had an impact for God, there have also been few people who have ever experienced the kind of intimacy with God that Moses got to experience. The Bible says in one place that no one can see God and live. Moses had such a relationship with God that he asked to see Him. And God hid him in a cleft in a rock and shielded him. And then as God passed by, Moses just got to see the very tail end, just the afterglow. And he was radiant in a way none of us have ever been radiant because he had been in the presence of God. Moses had an intimacy with God that few have ever had. And Moses had an impact that few have ever had. But what I really, really appreciate about Moses is how over and over and over he used, if I can say it that way, his intimacy with God on behalf of other people. He didn't use it for himself. It wasn't about that. He continually, over and over, used it for all of these people out there who he was leading and trying to bring along, and who were just stubborn and stiff-necked. That's such a good Bible word. The stiff-necked people, stubborn people, disobedient people, grumbling people. And it would have just been so easy for Moses to wash his hands of them. But yet over and over and over, he used that intimacy that he had with God on their behalf. And there's one specific place, we could pull out several, but there's one specific place in Exodus chapter 33 in which God says, and this whole story is amazing to me, but God says to the people, you know what? You're so stubborn, you're so stiff-necked, you're already grumbling so much. And this is early on. He said, I'm going to take care of you and I'm going to get you where you're going to go, but I'm sorry, I can't go with you. I just can't be with you. You are so disobedient and you are so far away from me already. And Moses then comes and Moses and God talk. And God reassures Moses, but you know what? I'm still your friend. And Moses amazingly, in this conversation he's having with God, says, I thank you so much that you're being my friend. But you know what? What I want more than anything is, would you be their friend? Would you stick with them? I'm kind of paraphrasing here, but. And you know what God did? Because of this friendship he had with Moses, he said, okay, since I'm your friend, I'll be their friend. And I'll go with them. Folks, that's what we are doing during these 30 days. We are pursuing this friendship with God, this intimacy with Jesus, but we're not going to use it for ourselves. Instead, we're petitioning him and we're having this conversation with him on behalf of our city and on behalf of some people, a smaller group of people that we care about or that we're aware of or that God's put in our path, and some of them are stiff-necked and rebellious and far from God. And we're having this conversation with God saying, thank you so much for being my friend. But would you be their friend too? Thank you so much that we have this kind of intimacy with you. I want them to have it with you too, God. That's what we're about this week, this month, as we awaken. The Bible uses the word awaken often. And as you would guess, the Bible uses the word awaken mostly in the context of having been asleep. And honestly, some of us have been asleep in our relationship with Jesus. And so we're asking God to wake us up. We're helping wake each other up to this friendship and intimacy that we can have with the King of the universe. And we're asking God to wake up people in our city who have been asleep, who don't know him. Jesus is really clear about it. We don't say it very much, but who are going to be lost without him. Forever. We're asking God to wake us up to them, for them to wake up to him. And we're just going to keep pursuing that friendship and that intimacy with him, maybe in ways that you've never done it before, trusting and asking that he will have an impact. And he will produce fruit. I shared a story last week with you about Harry and Mary Edwards. Someone contacted me and said, that was such a great story. I'm so glad you shared that. That is so similar to our family's story. And I think it was probably back in the 60s, so we're going even further back than we did last week. Another family moved to the area because of Shepherd Air Force Base. They looked for a house in Burke, found one for rent and grabbed it up. And the people who lived next door went to 10th and Broad, became their friend, had them over, did stuff with the kids, talked about Jesus, talked about church. And this family were not Christians at all. Studied with them. They were baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Plakes have been a part of our life ever since. And one of their sons became a youth minister. Joel, who we know and love so well, leads a ministry that puts Bibles in countries around the world. And Earl and Lynn, still in their 80s, are not able to be with us now, but I bet they're going to be back soon because they want to be. But they just minister in their little section every Sunday. Some of you are shaking your head because you know. We just got to do it again. We got to do those kind of things again. There's people out there like them who don't know the Lord, who, because you are praying and you're looking for those intersections where God brings you into their life and connects you with them and you act on it, boy, a whole family is going to be changed and a whole church and city is going to be blessed. So would you pray with me? Father, my very, very simple prayer this morning is that you would awaken us in Jesus' name.